the soil, not in the seed. It is the seed that produces the soil.
The soil. Because you can till the soil, you can water the soil, you can let the sunlight shine on the soil, but it will not produce a single thing without the seed being planted. It doesn't matter how good the soil is, if you have no seed in the soil, it cannot grow. The seed is, fill in the blank, the seed is the Word of God, right? Try it one more time. The seed is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. The Word of God. That's what we need to get. The Word of God. So what do you need to plant in your life in order to see a harvest? The Word of God. You plant the Word of God. Okay? The seed is the Word of God. So what do you need to plant in your life? You plant the Word of God. Okay? You guys are with me? Some of you guys are hoping for a harvest. Okay? You're praying for a harvest. You're praying for a miracle. You're praying for something to be different. Okay? You're praying for a need to be met. Check, check. I need my mic turned up, please. But you're not planting, not applying the Word of God, applying that seed that will produce the fruit. Okay? If the Word of God is the seed, and the seed is what produces the fruit, we have to apply the Word of God. You have to plant the seed of the Word of God in order to see things happening in your life. Okay, you have to apply the Word of God. It's what needs to be planted in your life. It's what needs to get deep down inside of your life, and then you have something to stand on. Then when the trials come, you have the Word of God inside of you, and you have that seed that can come out and pop out and produce something. It gives you something that you can stand on. It gives you the Word as that seed is something that you can trust in now. You have something you can believe in now. You have something you can put your faith in. And ultimately, the seed or the Word of God is what will ultimately lead to the harvest of blessings in your life. It's the Word of God. It's knowing the Word of God. It's what's in it. It's what comes through it. It's the power in it. And it's that seed that produces something or does something in your life. Luke 12:32 is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. It says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." God desires to give you all the blessings of His kingdom, but it is also the Father's desire that you bear much fruit. Okay, that's His goal. That's why He blesses you. He wants you to produce fruit and this stuff to flow through you. And He's given you everything that you need in the Word of God. But if you know anything about the growing process, Keith, can you turn my mic up just a little bit more? Maybe it's the fan or something. I just feel like I'm having to yell. I don't want to yell at you guys. Okay, if you know anything about the growing process, okay, you know that it takes time to bear fruit. Okay, you don't plant a seed one day and then go out the next day and have a big apple tree and pluck an apple, right? It takes time for that process to happen. Okay, Luke 8:6 that we read a minute ago says that some fell upon a rock, but as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Okay, Jesus explained the parable like this in Luke 8:13. He said, "They that are on the rock are they which, when they hear, they receive the word with joy, but these have no root, which for a while believe, but in time of temptation they fall away." See, it takes time for a seed to produce fruit because the root has to get down deep into the soil so that the plant can withstand the heat of the day. Okay? The Christian that does not know the word is easily dried up. Okay, they're easily deceived, they're easily led astray, they're easy to be drawn back to temptation. It's easy to dry up if you do not know the Word. Those people that do not know the Word do not know what Jesus Christ has done for them. And they do not know what God is continuing to do in their life. They don't know who they are now as a believer, as a child of God, now that they're in Christ. So what does the devil do? He lies to them. He tells them they're still a sinner. They're still an addict. You're still a loser. And they believe it because they don't know the Word of God. They don't know the difference. They don't know the truth. Okay? Jesus said His flock will get to hear His, get to know His voice, right? That's His Word is His voice. And so as we know that, the devil can come and tell me I'm a loser, and I say, I know what the Word of God says in here. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I am blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Okay, I can quote back to the devil and put him in his place because I know the Word of God. If you don't know the Word of God, when the devil lies to you, you believe it. Okay, and you fall away from the kingdom of God and you go right back to the old lifestyle. Okay, that's what happens. If you take two identical seeds and you plant one of them on top of a rock in an inch of soil, it'll pop up out of that in just a day or two. Okay, put a little water on it, a little bit of sunshine, that little seed will pop up in a couple of days. It'll look good at first, and everybody will be excited because it popped up so fast. Oh man, it's growing already, look at this. Wow, it looks great, it's popped up and it's green. But that same seed, if it was planted in the rich soil of a tilled field, will stay in the ground for well over a week before it will germinate and pop up out of the ground. Okay? Often it's closer to even 2 weeks before it actually pops up and gets tall enough that you can see it. Okay? And that is because that part of the seed that you finally see pop up on top of the ground is only half the plant. The other half is that root that is pushing down into the ground to make sure that it's anchored into the ground. Okay? The other half, or even more of the half, that is sticking down into the ground anchors it so that it won't be pushed over as it comes up by the wind or even the rain. Rain is good for a new plant, right? But too much rain in the beginning will wash it away. Picture the one that's sitting on a rock in an inch of soil, a gully washer like we get once in a while. Wash that whole thing away. But put that same plant out in a field where it's got a root that's underground as big or bigger than what you see on the ground, and it can withstand that little bit of rain or that wind or the things that come along. Okay? When a plant has a good root anchoring it in place, it can withstand a few dry days. Right? Okay? The one on the rock's going to dry up. Okay? If it only gets watered that once, enough to sprout, it's going to dry up and die within a few days. It'll wither away. It'll turn white, right? It turns white, and then it starts looking kind of sickly, and pretty soon it's a little brownish and kind of falls over. It's a sad, sad story, I know. Okay? The plant that is on there will look good right at first, but it will turn sick, and it will begin to get pale, and pretty soon it will dry and wither up and die because it has no root. It didn't get down in deep to where the water, the moisture, the good stuff was. So if the Word of God is the seed and you are the soil, then that seed needs to be planted deep down inside of your heart and allowed to grow and make roots. It needs to be a solid foundation. It needs to be anchored into your life to the point that you can quote back to the devil and put him in his place. You can quote this stuff over your life and know the Word of God and begin to speak it and do what you need to do. Okay? They need to... If the Word of God is that seed, we got to get it deep down inside. That's why the Bible tells us not to put a novice into ministry. Okay, as a young man, I got saved. I knew I was called to ministry shortly after I got saved, that I was on fire. I was telling everybody about Jesus and leading people to the Lord. And I led all my druggy friends to Jesus, and we all got baptized, and I just wanted to go right into ministry. Thank God that I had a mature pastor that came to me and said, bro, you're not ready yet. I know you're eager. I know you're hungry. You keep that hunger going and you keep pressing into the Word. And get the Word down inside of you. And I did. I listened to the Word night and day, 24 hours a day on CD and cassette tapes, and had it speakers all over my house so I could just listen to that Word of God play all day, all night if I needed to. I didn't have a TV, didn't have anything. I had a cassette player. I could listen to worship music and the Word of God. Okay, and that's what I did. Okay, and I read my Bible day and night as often as I possibly could. And the pastor offered me a book or something, man, I devoured it and then went back to the Bible. It was just wanting to get as much of that as possible. And years of doing that before he even let me teach a Bible study. Because I needed to get the Word of God down inside. If you put a novice in too soon, they're gonna stumble. They're gonna hurt themselves and other people. Okay, and God is smart enough to know that, so He gave us some scriptures to help people, to lead people into ministry. Okay, some of you have some hopes. You have some dreams, but you're waiting for them like a farmer who didn't plant any seeds. Okay, you're just hoping that somehow you'll be able to step out one day and, oh, look, a harvest. But you're not planting the seeds. You're not planning and spending that time in the Word to devour and eat up God's Word, so you don't have that in there to be able to come up when you need it. Okay? It will not come up. The crop will not come up until you put the Word of God in your life and you actually begin to apply the Word. Okay? Put it in there and apply it. When the seed is planted, the devil's going to come and try to steal that Word away. He's going to try to choke out the seed and try to draw all the moisture away from it, try to draw the attention away from that Word and try to make it so that it won't make much of itself. It won't produce much. Okay, Jesus said it in Luke 8:7. He said, when some fell among the thorns, He said the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And then He describes it or answers what that means to us in 14. He says, that which fell among the thorns are they which when they have heard, they go forth. But they're choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit to perfection. See, the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life choke out the young plant, and it never brings fruit to maturity. That's what perfection means there. It never brings it to perfection or maturity. So it's like an apple tree that never quite gets ripe apples on it. Okay? It's like that ear of corn that grows, and if you know anything about corn, when it's good and ripe, it's a pretty bright yellow. But as it's in the stalk, when it's still young and immature, it's like white in that. It doesn't have that color yet. Okay? But as it gets mature, then it turns the yellow. And that is what God is wanting from us, that we allow ourselves and get to that point where we're allowing that fruit to grow all the way to perfection, all the way to maturity. Okay? So that it can do what it was created to do. Okay, if a plant never produces any fruit, it is not doing what it was designed to do. If it's a stalk of corn or an apple tree or something like that, it is designed to produce fruit. Okay, and that's what you are created to do, is to produce fruit as well. The cares and the riches of this life overtake the fruit. And it's not just referring to sin either. Okay, even seemingly good things can get in the way of producing much fruit. Okay, life can get so busy that you simply do not have time for the Word of God. Okay, it can be too much work, okay, too much family, too much social media, too much entertainment, too much of your hobbies. Okay, I ran into a Christian brother yesterday I hadn't seen for a while, and I was like, hey man, how are you? Gave him a hug and tried to find out what's been going on in his life, and he's just fidgety, and oh man, I've been busy, I got this job, and then I got this one, I'm on call right now, I better get going, and off he goes. And I was like, you know, waiting to catch my breath. I didn't even get to talk to the guy. And I saw him later in the day, and it was the same thing. He was still just busy running around and constantly going. And this is a man of God, a brother in Christ. And it just seemed like that is the way. When you talk to people, a lot of times, how's it going? Oh, busy, man, real busy. You know, but they're too busy. Okay? And you can get to be too busy that you don't have time for the Word of God. Okay, all things should be done in moderation. But always, always making enough time for the Word of God. Okay? It is that vital to your life. It is the seeds that need to be planted so that you can reap a harvest and produce fruit the way that you're supposed to. Some might say that you'll miss out on too much. If all you do is focus on the Word of God and you're just absorbed into that, you're just going to miss out on a lot. They say you have to keep in touch with the world or you'll lose sight of it. Okay, I tell you, my goal is to be so consumed with the Word of God that I do lose sight of the world. Okay, what does the world have to offer? Nothing. Not much. Okay, Wednesday night we talked about how the God of this world, the devil, influences the world to influence you and to influence your flesh and to cause you to stray in the flesh. The world has nothing to offer for the disciple of Christ. Okay? It is just vanity. It's just fruitless stuff out there that is going to pull you away in idolatry and pull you away in the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, all those things. That's not of the world. I mean, not of God. That is of the world, those things. You know what you'll miss out on if you do not stay connected to the world? You know, if we don't keep up on the news. I used to do that. Oh man, I just feel like I don't know what's going on in the world. You know, I'm not that much worse off for it. Okay, if it's that big of an event or something goes on, I'll find out about it. I never saw one news clip, never heard a news clip on the guys that were stuck in the mine, that got stranded in the tunnel, not in the mine, but they got stuck in the tunnel. But yet, I heard about it, and I know about it. We prayed about it on Wednesday, right? Because it was a big enough event, it was a world event, and people are talking about it. It comes out in conversation, so I didn't have to see it on TV. Okay, let me finish that statement. Do you know what you will miss out on if you do not stay connected to the world? You will miss out on the fear that is promoted through many of the TV shows and the movies. You'll miss out on the strife and the division that the media is propagating. You'll miss out on the spirit of lust that enters through your life, through your eye gates, when you see the things the way the world promotes it. Okay, I was pretty disappointed. My kids sometimes would go to the library and they like to pick out the videos. They have free videos, you can check them out. And the other day they're like, Dad, can you come in with us? We want to get one that you'll let us watch. You know, because sometimes they bring some home and I'm like, we ain't watching that. Okay, so I went in with them and they're looking and I'm looking and I came across the old, some of you remember, the 1940s, late 40s guy named Red Skelton. Okay, an old comedian guy, kind of goofy guy. And I had seen little bits years and years ago, but I didn't really remember what it was about. I read the back of the thing and I thought, yeah, how bad could it be? This is, you know, 1947 or 48 or something. And so we put that on yesterday and we're watching it. And even in that year, they had dancing girls and they were making the women out to be more of an item or a object more than as a real person. Okay, they weren't even letting them really have parts to play or to say much. They were just zooming in on their big blue eyes, you know, and making, wasn't blue eyes, my wife says. Anyway, but that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. That's the way the world wants you to view women. It's not according to the Bible. It's not the way that God wants us to see and to feel and to have those things. So if we let that be our governing force, we're letting that drive us and say that this is how you should act and this is how you should want to be and, you know, you should drive Ferraris and, you know, whatever. Fill in the blanks. Don't want to offend people, but I do. Okay, you're going to miss out on some of those spirits. Some of those things that are trying to get into your life, that's what you will miss out on if you push the world away. Okay, you're not going to be any worse off. I knew a pastor that he was telling about one time that he was playing that game of Trivial Pursuit. You guys remember that? The old question and answer. And, you know, he was playing it with some folks and they started poking fun at him because he didn't know most of the answers. Okay, he didn't know about the movie characters. He didn't know about the singers and the latest and greatest names in country music and, you know, all these different things. He didn't know about all the topics of the game, but he knew the Word of God. Okay? And to him, that was the most important thing for him to know. He could care less about all that other stuff as long as he knew the Word. He ended up talking about how he traveled one time with some friends, and him and his wife ended up sitting at a table with some other people, and so they started trying to ask each other questions to get to know each other. They didn't know these folks, and this other couple started asking about their favorite alcoholic drinks, and they're going around the table, and they're talking about their daiquiris, their favorite daiquiri, and their Mai Tais, and their tonics, and this and that, and all these drinks, and they get around to him, and he just shrugs his shoulders and said, I've never touched a drop of alcohol in my life. I don't know. I don't have a favorite drink. And they're like, oh, okay, well then what's your favorite beer? Just save a beer. And he goes, I've never had a beer in my life. And he said it pretty well killed the conversation at the table, as you can imagine. But they tried to change it and say, well, we still want to get to know him, so let's talk about books. What's your favorite book? And of course, he just shrugs his shoulder and says, it's the Bible, isn't it everybody's? You know, that was his attitude, was that should be, and for him, that's what mattered the most. Of course, they get pushing him, and they said, no, outside of the Bible, you know, what's your favorite book? And he said, I really do not read many books outside of the Bible, so I really can't name one that would be a favorite. The Bible is definitely my favorite book. Okay, now some would say that's too narrow-minded. Okay, some would say that, you know what, that's just taking the Jesus stuff to an extreme. Okay, if that's all you think about is Jesus and God and the Bible, how can you live that way and have any sort of a life at all? You need to be more cultured than that. You need to have some flavor in your life and some spice in your life. But I tell you, that same pastor is very wealthy, and he has taught the Word of God all over the world, and he has seen and experienced more miraculous moves of God and signs and wonders and powerful things of God than probably 99.9% of the world population. The guy does not live a flavorless life. He does not live a boring life. It is extremely exciting. It is anything but dull because he knows where the fruit of life comes from. He knows that it comes from a seed, and that seed is the Word of God. And the more that he focuses on the Word of God, the more fruit he begins to see in his life. Okay, now getting those thorns and the weeds out of your life will not make your life boring. Okay, we want to get that stuff out so that it's out there on the outside. We're not going to let it choke out the rest of our life, and life will not be boring. Okay, and Christians need to get the what I call the life suckers, because that's what they are. The world just wants to suck the life out of you. But we need to get it out of our lives while they're not too big. Because some people have gotten to the point with a career, or they've gotten to the point with idols or things in their life, or they've gotten to a point with certain areas of their life where it has gotten to be such a monster in their life, so to speak, that it's almost too big to be able to get rid of. For them to walk away from that would be almost insane in people's eyes for them to do that. Okay? And that's what I'm saying. We've got to get that stuff out of our life before it gets to that point where it's taller than we are and begin to shower or crowd us out. Now, as a farmer, I have to finish this up. As a farmer, I learned about cultivating. Okay, I learned about picking the weeds out and cultivating the corn crops, I'll use corn in particular, so that they would have the very best chance possible. Okay, we would go out in the springtime, I was the disker. My nickname, we all had it, remember the old radio CBs? Okay, my handle was the Disco Kid. Okay, that was my nickname on the radio. And it was because I was known for disking. I was a kid, Dad could put in a tractor from the time I was about 10 years old and just drive up and down this tractor disking the field, basically turning that soil over and making it black. But it would soften that soil up and get it ready for the planting. And it would kill everything that you dissed. Anything left from last year, all the weeds that had started in the spring, it just turned all that over and cut it up and kind of killed it. Okay, it made it ready to be planted. Then once you planted, you had to wait until both the corn and the weeds begun to spring up. Okay, and once they got to a certain height, maybe very smallest would be like 4 or 5 inches, but usually you let it get about a foot tall, and then you could see the weeds in between the rows of corn. Corn is planted very specific rows apart, okay? Back in those days, we had an 8-row corn planter, and every row was this far apart, and so we would go out with a cultivator, a machine on the back of a tractor that would pull along, and it had these shovels that went down. It would pull along in between the rows, and as long as you drove straight, everything was good. It just tore out the weeds in between. If you did this, you're going to not only run over corn, but the cultivator on the back is going to chew out a patch of corn right behind you. I put a picture in here in case somebody hadn't seen what a cultivator is. There we go. So that's a tractor. Looks like me on about 10 years old there. I'm just kidding, it's not me. But that's an 8-row cultivator. It's kind of blurry, but you can tell there's more weeds in front of the tractor in these rows than there is behind it, because he's got the cultivator down into the ground. And in between here, there's probably, I think this is a 3-shovel cultivator, so there's 3 shovels in between there that is just pulling along, and it's just flipping the soil over on top of the weeds, cutting their roots off and flipping them over. Most of those weeds in between the rows will die. I think I have another picture. Okay, here's another one. Okay, yep. And this one, when you go to cultivate, okay, now this last picture here is a good example, but when you cultivate in between the rows like that, you can only do it once, maybe twice. Because every time that you do that, it sucks the moisture out of the ground too. Imagine the dirt is brown, you flip it over and it's nice and black, it dries out and gets brown, right? It takes the moisture out when you do that. Okay, so you only do it once or maybe twice. And then when the corn starts to get tall like this, This corn is as tall as the axles on that tractor, and it's probably too tall for him to be cultivating. That's probably why they even had this picture online, is to show people. Because the front of the axle of this tractor is snapping off pieces of stalks of corn. Okay, most of it's probably bending, but a few of them are actually getting broke off. And so he's getting to the point where he will not be able to do this anymore. Okay, at that point, the reason I'm showing you this is because at that point, you have done all that you can do for that corn. Okay, it now has to be strong enough, and it has to be deeply rooted enough to not be choked out by the weeds anymore. The idea was that this guy's probably thinking, if he does it now, the leaves of the corn are going to shade the ground underneath it, and the weeds won't get sun, and the weeds will not be able to grow underneath it. And that's what happens. Okay, those weeds, if you go out in the cornfield, the corn will be this tall. The weeds are less than a foot tall because they didn't get sunlight anymore because the corn is shading the ground. Okay, that's kind of what happens. Christians can get to that point too. Okay, Christians can get to that point where they are so well established and so broad that they the corn can get to that point, and you can get to that point where you're so broad and so big, so well-rooted, that the things that are underneath you are not going to be able to grow up into the big monster that takes over your life anymore. Okay? Christians can get to that point where they're so well-established, so broad, that they can keep the weeds at bay. Okay? You keep them from growing the way that they try to grow. For most of you as a Christian believer, you're only about knee-high right now, okay? And it's not too late for you. Okay? I don't care how long you've been with the Lord, time doesn't matter. It's your maturity level. There's still time to do some cultivating. Okay? There's still time to get some of those thorns out before they choke your walk with God. Okay? There's still time to make adjustments. Okay? There's still time. My pastor used to tell about in his life, he was into airplanes. He still is a pilot and flies, and he's owned several airplanes. And he said at one point he had a model airplane collection, and he was extremely proud of this collection. He would go to all the airplane shows and different things and buy more and all this stuff. And he had this huge airplane collection. And at some point, God spoke to him and said, "You've made an idol out of your airplane collection." And he went and got rid of all of them in one day. Okay? It was something that as a mature pastor, it came to him and he realized, this is something I need not have. It's creating an issue. I'm putting more time into this than I am into the Word of God. And he just got rid of it and he never regretted it. He always felt like that was what he was supposed to do, and he knew he did it and he got rid of that. Okay? There's still time for you to do some cultivating and get some of those thorns out before they choke your walk with God, and it will allow you to still produce an abundance of fruit. See, in Matthew's account of this parable, he said it like this in Matthew 13:23. He said, "He that received the seed in the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. See, some will bear more fruit than others. Okay, some 30, some 60, and some 100 times as much as they started with. But some people take this to mean that we're not all expected to produce 100-fold, like Luke put it. Okay? But God is not limited, and that it is God that determines how much fruit a seed will produce. Okay, how do you make a seed produce? How can I take one kernel of corn and say, this one will produce 350? You can't do that. It's up to God to determine how much that is going to produce. Just because you currently do not see a bunch of fruit being produced in your life, it does not mean that you are destined to be just a 30-folder, okay, if that's even a word. But you know what I mean? You're not destined to be a 30-folder. God intended for you to produce 100-fold. That was his goal. You turn your life completely over to God. You allow him to root out some of those things that don't need to be there. Let him do what he wants to do in your life, and you will produce an abundance of fruit. Okay? God is desirous that you bear much fruit, not just a little. John 15:8. He said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples." See, if I plant a kernel of corn and it produces 100-fold, or it produces 100 kernels on that ear, that's pretty good. But if I plant a kernel and it produces 1,000 kernels on that ear of corn, that's much fruit. Okay, that's pretty awesome. That's pretty outstanding. Okay, that is much fruit, and God is glorified with much fruit. Okay, because the soil doesn't get the credit for the fruit, and the farmer doesn't get credit for the fruit. It's the seed that matters. Okay, if I plant a kernel of corn and it grows 1,000 kernels on an ear, the farmers from all over the nation are going to be like, I want some of the offspring of that seed, because that seed produced 1,000-fold. They want to know, where did you get that? What made that happen? And you'll say, it came from these seeds. They're worth a lot. Okay, it's the seed that matters. So when much fruit is being produced through your life, people are going to not want to know what seed started that process. How did all this happen? People are going to wonder how you produce such wonderful things in and through your life. And you can point them back to the seed and say, it's the Word of God that makes the difference in my life. Okay, some of you are believing God for the fruit. You want to see God move in big ways and do some miraculous things in your life, but yet you do not plant the seed of the Word of God in your life. Okay, you brush the dust off your Bible and you take it to church, but yet you're expecting some great fruit to be produced through your life. Okay, the Word of God is where it's at. The seed has to be in you to produce. Okay, there's over 31,000 scriptures in the Bible. I think it's 31,102 scriptures. How many do you have put to memory? 31,102 scriptures. And most of us probably have 5, 10 scriptures memorized. 31,102 scriptures, and we only memorize a handful. Think of the power. Think of the seeds that are left undone. Think of the seeds that are still on a shelf because we're not putting it inside and getting it down deep where it can actually do something. The Apostle Paul reminded us that the more seeds that are planted, the more harvest you will reap. Remember 2 Corinthians 9:6? This I say then, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Okay, this is true for our finances, but it is also very true for the Word of God, okay, that's in your heart. The more seeds planted, the more they will produce. Okay, so many people read through the sower and the seed in that parable, and they focus in on the soil. Okay, and they miss out on the most important part of the story, that is the seed. Okay, without the seed, it does not matter what type of soil you are. Okay, you will not see any fruit through your life without a seed. The seed is the Word of God. Okay, it will be silly if a farmer went out to his field every day to look to see if his crop had sprung up when he had not planted the seed. And yet some of you want changes in your life. You want God to do this or that, and yet you haven't planted the seed. You haven't spoken the Word of God over your circumstance or over your situation. You know, if you have a financial seed, this is a good scripture to speak over your finances. So is my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Or just remind yourself, you don't have to quote Isaiah 22:9. You know, you can, and I encourage you to do that so you can find it when you want it. But get them into your heart so that you can quote it to the devil, to God, and to yourself that says, Jesus Christ came to give me life and to give it to me more abundantly. Okay, my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory. Okay, my God is making sure that I am blessed. I am above and not beneath. You get that stuff inside of you so that you have these to quote over your life. The Bible talks about they that humble themselves will be exalted. So if you're wanting promotion or you want to move up to bigger and better things, then you should be speaking things over your life from the Word. Things like, I trust in you, Lord, with all my heart. I lean not on my own understanding. In all my ways I trust and lean on you, and I believe that you will direct my path. You will show me the next step. Okay, you're quoting the scripture. That means it's down inside of you and you're standing on it. Okay, that applies that seed of the Word of God to your situation. And then you can rest assured that you have planted a seed that will produce. Because God's Word does not return unto him void. It accomplishes that which he pleases. Okay, God's Word will get things done, but you got to plant those seeds. knowing that God is glorified when His seed produces much fruit in your life, you can know that God will cause it to happen. Okay, put the seed in and let the seed maker make the seed do what the seed's supposed to do. Right? Amen. Father God, we're praising You this morning, exalting the name of Jesus. Father, You are worth all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul. You're worth everything that we have. Lord, we lay it down, our entire life at Your feet, and we apply Your word to our life, Lord. We lay it down and give it to You so that You can pick us up, that You can carry us forward, that You can do what You need to do. And Lord, I pray that as all these seeds that You have given us, over 31,000 of them, Father, that we can apply and plant in our life, Lord, in the lives of the people around us, Lord, that we will apply and begin to put them in deep and to put them down in there and watch them grow, that we'll nourish them and water them and take care of them and, Father, put them into memory so that You can do what You need to do. Father, we're trusting in You. We're living in You. We're walking in You and Your Spirit. Father, praying and believing that You will produce fruit through our life, Lord, and not just a little, but You'll produce much fruit. For herein, therein, are You glorified. Father, we love You this morning. Thank You for Your love for us. Thank You for caring about us in spite of ourselves, Lord. Encourage us in those weak areas, Lord. Be strong in faith to be a man or woman of God that walks in the truth, that always adheres to You in every way that we can. Father, we love You and praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Mm-hmm.